it. I told him on credit, Daddy just smiled. I'll never forget it. Daddy never was the Cadillac kind. He said some things just glitter and shine.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. We're broadcasting live from the Alabama State House. We had a jam-packed show. Carrie Underwood from Tuscumbia, Brock Colvin from Albertville. Tentatively speaking, depends on the Senate, Dan Roberts from Jefferson County and Rex Reynolds from Huntsville will be joining the program. What I am describing as the last State House show of the session. But joining us now, she's the chairwoman of the Education Policy Committee. She's always been very kind to this program, even when I was on up in Huntsville, WVNN, another North Alabama lawmaker. But State Representative Terry Collins joins us here. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing really well.
Hey, well, thanks for coming by. And I wanted to, let's just start here. The Education Policy Committee, it's been quite the hotbed of controversy this year. And I know that happens sometimes, but
it's kind of true every year a little bit. I think I always describe it as everyone on both sides of any issue are extremely passionate. And our job is to sort through those issues.
Yeah, and, you know, I've been to maybe four of the committee meetings this
year.
Yeah, so kind of sitting off to the side there, but you know, it's interesting what comes out of that and how that lands. Like, you know, do you have any inkling when the session begins that this is going to be the sort of the direction you're going to go dealing with? I don't know, some of these, like the library book issues or some of the content of what we're teaching, the LGBTQ stuff. Is that just, you're just always ready for that battle?
I think you're always ready to have the discussion of what's there. I know this time what I would say is that and a lot of times before session starts, you see something coming your way, and so you know it's coming. But this time, I think there were surprises. I think a lot of times I would look at what some of the bills were coming, and I worked very closely this year, actually, with Senator Donnie Chastain, who's chair of education policy in the Senate. And we really wanted to focus on bills that truly made a difference and improved education. So we focused on that, and we did a lot of that right at the first. And then we saved some of what I would call the social issue bills to really the same day, just to see what happened. A lot had public hearings. We were probably in there that day. And then some we voted on a week later, some we waited and thought about it a little bit. But what I was really pleased was that if it comes out of our committee, I want it to be good policy. I want it to be enforceable. I want it to be what is the right thing, the best thing to do. And so I think everything that came out of the committee, we had really worked to improve and make it work.
Well, and just kind of watching it, you would carry bills over, and then they would come back with amendments, and just kind of, you know, I watched the Ed Policy Committee, the House, and this more than I've ever watched any other committee in the legislature this year. But you've done some other things. And I don't know where it landed or where it ended up. Was a Susan DeBose bill with the extra instruction, the religious instruction.
Religious release.
Did that ever, whatever came of that?
Well, it failed in my committee. Susan was really good. She took a couple amendments that I think did improve it, but it ended up not having votes to get out of committee. It seems to be important to some of the senators, and so they've gotten their bill out. And so it's actually in state government is where it is today for committee hearing, and then we'll have to see what's going on. I think we still look to make sure that it's better policy and looking at amendments, but right now it's in state government, and we'll see what happens. Today it would get a second reading, and then so it would be the last day to see what happens with that.
Gotcha. Let's see, what else? CHOOSE Act.
CHOOSE, yeah.
you feel pretty good about? I mean, it seems to be very popular. I don't know. I'm not shocked that there's a lot of takers on this.
I was not shocked either. And these takers, I want everybody to keep in mind, are below that. I believe it's 300% of poverty. And so these are people that really don't have a lot of choice. And so I think that's been really good. I know it opens up in a few years, and it will be interesting to see how that goes. But I do think that it was very popular. I think not necessarily with the, bureaucrats in the education industry, but I think with families it was very popular, and I think it gave some options to families that they truly never had before.
Are we seeing the, I asked you this probably last time you were on, but they kind of went away for a while, but the bureaucracy, but their lobbying arms in education are very
strong.
Very vocal. Yeah, stronger than they've been in a long time.
I would agree.
And it's different. I remember the Paul Hubbard years, and I remember, he ran everything. They're a little more subtle this time around.
They're behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I know. I had an amendment. I had worked with one of the groups and had some things I wanted as a priority for the task force for literacy and numeracy. I'm wanting to keep the quality. And those are experts that know that. So I wanted to make sure they were considered. And the amendment that I was given didn't quite do what we had hoped.
Terry Collins, a state lawmaker from Decatur, is with us here, and we're talking about kind of the last minute out of the legislative tactics. Just sometimes you rush it to the last minute, and it's not necessarily like the nefarious, surreptitious thing you're trying to pull off.
No, it's just trying to get it right, and I think that's it, too. Even the one we talked about today, I could have rushed something in a committee meeting, but it's not right yet, and I'd rather wait and get it right than get it fast.
Well, we got it done, though.
We did.
So that's what matters.
We did.
Let's talk about some other things. This is probably more of a education budget discussion, but changing the formula for how these school systems are funded, and what you see, Representative, is the needs of each school system have really changed. Like going about getting bilingual teachers and things of that nature, which I'm sure touches on policy. Talk about that. The money's going to change. So how do you take these changes in funding and implement it into policy?
I'm glad to talk about that. I've been on the education budget committee since I was elected back in 10. So I've watched it. I think that what we did with the RAISE Act might be one of the best decisions we've made in years. Our funding formula was really designed to feed what you just called the system, the status quo. And we know it costs more to educate certain students. And so therefore, if you are special needs, if you are a English language learner, if you even gifted, I mean, there are different things, and those cost more to educate. And so RAISE Act gets a base amount that will still use the same funding formula we had before. So it gives everybody a comfort zone. But then it moves into a needs-based for students based on what we know costs more. And we have the accountability piece so that if we're going to give you more money to educate these buckets of students with these issues, we expect to see growth in achievement for those students. And that excites me the most.
Well, and so you changed the formula. It was like, well, somebody's going to be a winner and somebody's going to be a loser, but it's my understanding with the growth in the ETF, there's not really going to be losers per se.
That was our goal to start with, was that no one would be less, everyone. Now, growth may be more in areas that have more.
But no one's taking a cut.
Poverty, no one has taken a cut. Everyone has a growth. Everyone has some students that are special needs or gifted or English language learners, you all have that, and so your students would be compensated.
Yeah. Well, it was a real concern. You know, some of these counties that are really, really growing and, you know, they don't have a lot of poverty, not as much poverty as other counties. They were like, well, you're going to, it's just a, you know, usual government thing where they take from the rich and give to the poor, and they didn't want that.
Yeah, no, and we heard some of that too. I believe even in those counties, they may not have poverty as much, but they probably have some English language learners in there. They probably have special needs that are there, and they probably have gifted. And so while they might not get as much of the poverty, they may get some of the other.
The English language learners, I mean, that's going to change like curriculums. It systems just inundated with this, right?
I'm from Decatur, and it does. It completely changes. I actually went, Decatur has a career technical high school, and I was able to go Monday and actually see how they were adjusting core curriculum into those career tech classes, and it was fascinating. It may, as a banker, past banker, it may have been the best financial literacy in a math class I've ever seen. I mean, those students are prepared when they go out to handle budgets, to know mortgages, to know, and I was very exciting. And so I think we are having to do education differently, and when you see it done well, it's exciting.
Well, and you feel good though in general, because I don't know that we talk about NAEP scores and all these metrics all the time, but it does seem, at least we could argue about the policy and the funding and all that, but incrementally, probably since the last 5 years, you can see the improvement, right?
Oh, yes. I've been really excited about that. NAEP, the best definition I heard someone describe a NAEP, and actually it was from NAEP, is that they are really like an audit, because they've been a continuous leveling. So if they say we're doing, you know, 45th, and our testing shows all our students are A's and B's, well, that's an audit that's not working. Well, we are very well aligned now, and so when we see that actual growth, I think that make a difference. I will say this, and I hate to get in the weeds too much, but in 22, when we saw that we had really gone up in literacy, especially, that was great, but we got our students back in school quicker than a lot of the states.
Right.
And I wondered if that was an anomaly that year because of the students. But when we had gains in both literacy and numeracy, math, this time, it really showed what we're doing is working and it's making a difference. So, no, it is rewarding.
Let's talk the Literacy Act. And there were changes made, and I don't know if we've ever had this discussion. You got to read at a third grade level to go on to the fourth grade.
Correct.
Now, what changed? When this bill, and I remember there were a lot of headwinds to get it passed finally and then implemented, but did you have to water it down or what?
It's been a path. When we actually passed it the first year, which in my mind was almost a God thing, because hard things like that don't usually pass in the first year.
Right.
But they really did, and it got really strong supportive passing. So that was good. Well, then we have 2 years, year and a half of COVID, and everybody wants to stop it and limit it and all. But what I tried to explain too, we actually got a veto, if you remember, for delaying it, because I wanted to keep the pressure on to keep that momentum building and not to delay it. But then before it implemented, the year it was supposed to implement, we did delay it. We actually delayed it 2 years, which I was a supporter of one. But my reason was not because of COVID. My reason was because we had changed our testing in 2020 that we didn't even get. So the year it was supposed to implement would have only been our second year. And you really need 3 years of data to make sure your statistics are right. So that was my reason, not for weakening it, but for delaying it. Now, they wanted to delay it again, and we were able to fight that off. We also changed some of the strength, I would say, of the task force. The task force was able to really get things done with quality And I love that. Ooh. And the committee. And we did weaken that a little bit a few years ago.
But you didn't take a watered down the definition of a third grade reading.
Not at all. What we've done is I let the board sets that date, and I'm at that level, and they set it at what they called 2 degrees below what they thought it would be. That way we didn't hold anybody back that might really be ready to go on. That was the reasoning. Well, that level, though, they continued. They lifted it this year. They're talking about not next year, but they still can lift it this year. I would like us to get, we have the testing comes out in 4 levels.
Right.
Think of it as poor, below grade, which is where our cut score is right now. And then the top 2 levels are our own grade level and then excellent. I want all our students to get to own grade level. But you get there incrementally, and I do believe that what we've got is a good bill.
Well, it goes. I guess people were kind of surprised that not as many
were held
third
back.
Graders were held back, and yeah. You know, it was supposed to be like, oh, yay, we held some people back, but
that was not the goal.
No, at all. But I think it was like we're finally getting some accountability here,
right,
with our educators,
right,
and we're finally seeing like, hey, we got problems here because we have this many third graders who are being held back. Let's figure out, is it a teacher? Is it what's going on there?
And Jeff, you know, too, I am all about that accountability. Transparency and accountability, those are like my keywords that I work. You know, one of the first things I passed was that A through F.
Right.
And we actually need to work on it because it's been diluted, I will say. But that accountability, they didn't want that either. It took it 6 years to implement. But once those D and F schools were labeled, unfortunately, but then they had neighborhoods and they had communities go in, almost all of them came off that list the next year. Well, that's the goal. We want to continue to lift things.
Right.
And that's how I want the report card to be. That's what I want literacy to be. Start at a cut score. I decided I didn't care where the school board sat, as long as we continue to lift it. That's what I wanted with our grade. I wanted us to continue to lift that like I'd seen Florida do. They moved from the bottom 50% to the top in 10 years. But they lifted what it took to get an A through F, I think, 4 times during that 10 years.
Any internet here is pretty abysmal. You didn't miss much. I was kind of wrapping it up with Representative Collins when it dropped. But we appreciate her for stopping by.